tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing well. I have returned from my trip abroad. And when I mean abroad, literally across an invisible line at the 49th parallel of the Earth. Yes, that's the border between Canada and Los Estados Unidos. I was recently in British Columbia, and now I'm back. And today we're going to talk about phthalates. And I thought it was important to talk about phthalates because we've talked about other endocrine disruptors. And phthalates have really gotten in the news recently because they were found in decent amount of dosage in macaroni and cheese. Good old Kraft's getting back into the news with more toxic additives or accidental additives that have been put in their food, which I'll mention later in this podcast where they got caught the last time with some issues. But before we begin, naturopathicearth.com, we have loads of articles, many of which I don't even mention in my podcasts. Some of my articles I later turn into podcasts, but many of them I don't. We have some great recipes as well. Check those out. I got about 150 articles or so. Go over there. Post some comments if you can. Say hi to me and Kate. Also, you can find me at Naturopath Earth on Twitter, Naturopathic_Earth on Instagram, and then, of course, befriend me on El Facebook. All right, so phthalates. Phthalates. The reason I wanted to talk about phthalates is because they screw with us. They screw with us big time. So I really brought it to my attention now because I remember reading an article last week that macaroni and cheese had a decent amount of phthalates in them. It was found in approximately 29 of 30 samples of mac and cheese. The Coalition for Safer Food Processing and Packaging did this study, and it was published in the New York Times. Now, typically, phthalates are chemicals that are put into plastics to make them more flexible. So you see them a lot in shampoo, you see them a lot in cosmetics, you see them a lot in vinyl flooring, you see them in kids' backpacks, you see them in PVC pipes, kids' lunch boxes. They're everywhere. And it's one of these things that's very hard to take them out of our life because so many of the products found in our house have them. I had mentioned in the five toxins you have to get out of your house immediately, which I think was MPE number 12 or so. One of them was VOCs, volatile organic compounds, that are commonly sprayed on our furniture. They're used in our cars as well to get that new clean smell, that new car smell. And of course, they're also found in paint. That's why it's common if you go to Home Depot or wherever you get your paint, they're going to say VOC free. But similar to VOCs, phthalates are found pretty much all over the house, and they're difficult to get rid of. So how did they end up in our macaroni and cheese? Well, Kraft did not add it as an additive like they would do with MSG, which is one of the complaints that people have against Kraft, but also the old food dyes that they used to put on or put in them that they took out a few years ago after there was so much parental backlash to it that they did decide to take them out. But it got into, the phthalates got into the macaroni through processing because it's very, very common to find phthalates in plastic. That's the big place where you're going to find it is in plastic. So Kraft has vowed to clean up its act and to get the stuff out of its piping. Now, phthalates. Why are phthalates bad for us? Well, what I'm going to do, typically I glean from my own articles, but I'm going to glean from The Guardian, because The Guardian does a very good job talking about phthalates. But really quickly, one of the things that I want to mention about phthalates is that they are in that family of endocrine hormone disruptors, typically the ones we think about plastics, which I've already done a podcast on about a month ago. We put that in there as well, the different forms of plastics, also parabens, which is another family. That's also a hormone disruptor. You can typically find those in lotions. We talked about that in the dangers of sunscreen a little. But if you go to any of the lotion stores like Bed Bath and Bath and Body Works, all those things have parabens. Just look on the back. Okay, so lately it seems like a new study on the health impacts of phthalates comes out every week. The chemicals are everywhere. They're used in everything from household cleaners to food packaging to fragrance, cosmetics, and personal care products. Now, it mentions fragrance. Anytime you look at a cologne or any sort of household cleaner, let's see, plug-ins or any of those lotions, anytime it has an ingredient called fragrance, we really don't know what that is. It could be anything, but it could be a phthalate. In 2003, researchers at the U.S. Center for Disease Control, the CDC, which was blown up in season one of The Walking Dead, not that I endorse violence, but documented widespread exposure to a high level of group of chemicals called phthalates across the general American public. The chemical acts as a binding agent and also makes plastic flexible. So it makes some plastic very soft, like in toothpaste containers. The CDC recommended that the chemicals and their effect on human health be studied further, a recommendation that helped unlock funding for dozens of studies focused on phthalates, resulting in a tidal wave of recently published reports that largely indicate the CDC's concern was warranted. Bum, bum, bum. The CDC's warning on phthalates also caught the attention of Senators Barbara Boxer and former U.S. Representative Henry Waxman, who included the chemical in their Consumer Product Safety Bill, which passed in 2008. That bill banned the use of some phthalates in children's products, passed an interim ban on others, and required the Consumer Product Safety Commission to take a closer look at the chemicals. The resulting report on phthalates, which is called the Chronic Hazard Advisory Panel, or the CHAP on phthalates, was finalized in 2014. And despite the chemical industry's efforts to soften the commission's recommendations, public health advocates are largely pleased with the effort, a rarity when it comes to government-penned reports on chemical safety. Yeah, because most of the time when the government or any quote-unquote watchdog group of the government publishes any study on if a chemical is bad for you, more often than not, it'll say, no, it's fine. It's fine. Or the amount needed is infinitesimal and it won't cause any side effects. Yeah, of course, they never think about the cumulative effect. With academic studies and policy reports consistently voicing concern over the health impacts of phthalates and consumers beginning to sit up and take notice, regulation may not be far behind. So what's the harm? Name a major public health concern over the past two decades, and there's likely some link to phthalate exposure. In the past few years, researchers have linked phthalates to asthma, ADHD, breast cancer, obesity, and type 2 diabetes, low IQ, neurodevelopmental issues, behavioral issues, autism spectrum disorder, altered reproductive development, and male fertility issues. Yay, phthalates. So let's repeat those, okay? So these have been independent studies that have linked phthalates to asthma, ADHD, behavioral disorders, autism spectrum disorders, neurodevelopmental disorders. Again, those are all going to be in the same group. So it messes with your nervous system, especially when you are growing up, right? Again, we are the most sensitive to chemicals and additives when we are growing, and little children and children grow faster than we do. Obesity and type 2 diabetes. We have talked about how these endocrine disruptors like plastics make you fat. They can make you fat. We talked about that in the podcast of whether or not antibiotics make you fat, but we also talked about it in plastics. You could have a very clean eating diet. You could be exercising, maybe not exercising too much, but you could be gaining weight. It's because we are surrounded by plastics all the time and all these other hormone disruptors. Breast cancer, that's not too surprising because there's been studies linking the other endocrine disruptors like plastics and parabens to breast cancer. And then male fertility issues. In fact, decreased sperm count, that's one of the most prevalent results from these studies, has been infertility and decreased sperm count. Undescended testicles, kids who have mothers who have a high level of phthalates in their body when they're pregnant, they have a higher chance of their kid having cryptorchidism, which is the medical term for undescended testicles. That's when one or both of the testicles doesn't descend from where it is in the boy, which is roughly where the ovaries are. If you guys don't know this, the testicles descend down the inguinal canal down into the scrotum, where it can be have perfect temperature regulation. This is why the scrotum moves up when it's cold, because it's like, damn, it's cold. And then it moves down and swings when it's hot because it needs to cool out. Well, anyways, in the third trimester or right after birth, typically that testicle is going to descend down and slide down into the scrotum, but sometimes it doesn't. So phthalates, you have a higher chance of having an undescended testicle. Even malformation of the penis. Okay, again, these are not things that we should take lightly. These are serious things. But why don't we hear this in the news all the time? Or better yet, where is the outcry to ban them? Well, I think you know why. Let's review again where we can find phthalates. It's in most PVC products. Well, PVC is everywhere. We're not even talking about just the PVC pipes that bring our water. So even there is a perfect example of how you're going to eliminate this completely. But again, food equipment, packaging equipment, building materials, children's backpacks, lunch boxes, personal care products, fragrances. I mean, they are everywhere. Yeah. With phthalates is a huge class of chemicals, and nowhere near every chemical in the class has been studied. But several have been shown to have negative health effects, including, this is great, butyl benzyl phthalate, dibutyl phthalate, di-2-ethyl hexyl phthalate, diethyl phthalate, dibutyl phthalate, benzyl butyl phthalate, disobutyl phthalate, diisoninol phthalate, dienyl octyl phthalate, I'm almost done, dipentyl phthalate, diisobutyl butyl phthalate, diisoninol phthalate, dienoctyl phthalate, diisohexyl phthalate, dicyclohexyl phthalate, and diisoheptyl phthalate. Man, I gotta take a mint tea break after that. So several of the phthalate family, similar to parabens, you have propylparaben, methylparaben, so it's the same thing. These are all similar chemicals. They're all like from the same chemical family, typically, or similar to BPA, BPS. Enough distinct phthalates have been studied to indicate that companies should proceed with caution when using any chemical in the phthalate class, particularly in products for pregnant women or young children, whom the research has indicated are the most vulnerable to the effects of phthalates. We just talked about that. One of the first phthalates to raise a red flag, which was DEHP. DEHP, that's going to be di-2-ethylhexyl phthalate. Only for research to discover was replaced. I'm sorry. One of the few first phthalates to raise a red flag was DEHP, was replaced in hundreds of consumer products with DINP. DINP, which is diisoninol phthalate. Only to discover a few years later that the exposure to DINP, the replacement, is correlated to male genital birth defects and impaired reproductive function in adult males. So again, this kind of reminds me of, well, actually mentions here, public health advocates hope to learn from the mistakes made in regulating bisphenol A as momentum gathers behind the regulation of phthalates and ensure that one harmful phthalate isn't just replaced with another over and over again. BPA was singled out as the sole chemical of concern in the bisphenol group and regulated as such. Manufacturers largely replaced BPA with bisphenol S, which researchers are now discovering is equally as problematic as BPA. Thank you. Thank you, The Guardian. So it's a perfect example. We've already talked about plastics, how they do the bait and switch when it comes to plastics. Now, if you have not heard my podcast on plastic or read the articles, please listen to it. BPA free. Literally, the podcast is called The Lie of BPA Free. So they've taken out BPA because in 2012, it was banned in children's products. But the consumer, the plastic industry was like, sure, we'll take it out. It's not a big deal. Wink, wink. Because they knew they could use bisphenol S or any sister chemical in the bisphenol family. So even The Guardian is admitting, and this isn't some grand conspiracy theory, that everything in the bisphenol family is just as toxic as BPA. So do not rest on your laurels and think, oh, I have a BPA-free plastic water jug. It's just as freaking toxic. So here with the phthalates, it's the same thing. They know one of them is bad, so they're going to replace it with another one. Oh, this one's bad too. So they should just ban all the phthalate chemicals. If they only ban one, like DHP or DINP, then they're going to be able to use all the other ones, which are just as problematic. It's just so frustrating. Both because of their ubiquitous usage and because they are not listed on product labels, phthalates are next to impossible to avoid. So they're not labeled. You never see phthalates because, again, it's a class or group of chemicals. And even the other names you might not necessarily find on the ingredient list, unlike parabens, which are listed as a preservative in cosmetics, for example. They are in household items, vinyl flooring, as we mentioned, personal care products, hair care, body wash, some cosmetics, fragrance, household cleaners, and food. Even for those who either avoid these products or buy phthalate-free variations, phthalates lurk in unexpected places. For example, in food, even milk packaged in glass may have passed through plastic tubing on its way from the cow to the bottle, taking DHP along with it. That's a type of phthalate. Milking machines use a lot of plastic, and DHP is free and very lipophilic, fat-soluble, and milk is full of lipids. So it just pulls the DHP out of the plastic tubing and into the milk, explains Robin Wyatt, professor of environmental health sciences at Columbia University, and a lead author on several landmark phthalate studies. Quote, so my guess would be that milk is a pretty important source of dietary exposure to DHP. Now, this goes back to PVC pipes. So phthalates are in PVC pipes. PVC pipes, of course, bring us water. So anytime you drink water, it's going to have phthalates in it. And then think about all the foods that use water in its processing. They're almost all, just like in this one milk place, they're all going to use plastic piping. Now, some of those products, let's say if it's Sunny D, or let's say it's grape jam or cereal or whatever, maybe they're not as lipophilic or fat soluble, and therefore the milk doesn't absorb the phthalate that it's passing through in the tubing, but maybe it does. Spices are another surprising source of phthalate exposure. A 2013 study published by the journal Nature compared the phthalate levels of two groups, one eating their regular diet but armed with a handout of recommendations for ways to reduce BPA and phthalate exposure in their diet, and the other eating a catered diet consisting solely of local organic fare, none of which had touched plastic packaging. Okay, the study authors were shocked to find that DHP levels, phthalate, in the local organic group jumped 2,300% over the course of the experiment. Determined to figure out why, the researchers tested all the food consumed by the group and found high levels of the phthalate and dairy products, and various organic imported spices, even organic. The fact is you can't know if a food has phthalates in it. You can suspect, but it's almost impossible to know, said Olson. That makes them hard to avoid, which is why you need a regulatory framework. Just like with the fight for GMO labeling, we need labeling of phthalates because they're everywhere, and they're hazardous to our health. But of course, the plastic industry doesn't want to put any of these warnings because you might, lo and behold, not buy plastic fill-in-the-blank in lieu of glass fill-in-the-blank or some other alternative. Regulation of consumer products moves slowly in the U.S., and that has proven to be especially true when it comes to chemicals. I wonder why. The revolving door, the bribery, the paid-off congressman. Despite the recent movement on phthalates, Olson says it's likely to be a long time before we have the sort of wide-reaching framework that would adequately protect the public from harmful exposure. That doesn't mean all is lost in the meantime. State and federal regulations have already eliminated the chemicals from some products, and that list is likely to grow. California's Prop 65. Now, we've mentioned Prop 65, and we were talking about, I believe it was the IRAC list of Class 1 carcinogens. Yeah, that recently put in Roundup. Yeah. So Prop 65 is that one where everything is stated in the labeling if it's a carcinogen or a birth defect or it's bad for your health. So at least in California, four of the phthalate family, DINP, DEHP, DPP, and BBP, are in there. And the state's Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment recently proposed changes to Prop 65's warning requirements, which would require manufacturers to list specific chemicals in their warnings and make those warnings more detailed. Because right now, most of the time, the Prop 65 label will say, this product contains substances known by the state of California to cause cancer. So, I mean, I think that's pretty scary. But I've seen sprays, insecticides, pesticides that have that, and people still buy it even when they see that in the back. Because, you know, it's hard to get out of that framework to think that only chemicals do things, right? So instead of seeing that label for, let's say, Roundup now in California and thinking, okay, what natural ways can I reduce weeds? It's all about the instant gratification. I'll just buy it and suck it up because we're all going to die someday anyway. We need to change that mindset and think of natural ways that perhaps we could clean the house, make it smell good, prepare our food a certain way, and whatnot. Prop 65 will be a driving force for change on phthalates, Olson says. Companies don't like to put warning labels on their products. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Consumers can also take matters into their own hands by avoiding products packaged in recycling code 3 plastic. Okay, recycling code 3, products that include the vague ingredient fragrance on their label, and purchasing organic products packaged in glass as much as possible, again, just like with plastics. Wyatt also recommends that consumers remove any food packaged in plastic from its packaging and place them in glass. DEHP continues to leach over time, so you do actually reduce exposure by changing the storage container, even if it's been in plastic before you bought it. She says, all the DEHP has probably not come out yet by the time you get it at home. And if there's still DEHP in there, it's still probably leaching out. So at least you can reduce your exposure to some extent. Okay, well, this is very practical, so it's important to know that. So let's say you buy hummus and it comes in plastic, or even soups. A lot of soups come in plastic. Scoop it out and put in glass as soon as you can. I mean, that's not having to say that we should take it out of glass, definitely when you're going to warm it up in a microwave, but just get it out of plastic as soon as you can. Olson says, if we start by addressing the products where we know there's significant exposure to phthalates, so again, that's going to be children's backpacks, children's lunches, vinyl, and so forth, and we start with the most vulnerable communities being pregnant women and children, because again, that's connection to birth defects and ADHD, we can make a real difference. We could take care of a lot of food exposure through FDA regulation and toys through the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and that's a lot. It's not all, but it's a good chunk. Retailers could also play a significant role, as they have with other chemicals of concern. Target and Walmart both launched initiatives to reduce or eliminate toxic chemicals from their shelves last year. Let's see how long that takes. Both retailers have said they will make evidence-based purchasing decisions to protect their consumers' health. With a mountain of scientific evidence piling up on phthalates, it can't be long before consumers begin to put pressure on retailers, and retailers in turn push their suppliers to find both alternatives to phthalates and what ways to remove the chemicals from their products altogether. See, what I foresee here is the same thing with BPA, right? So there's going to be pressure from these stores, but not real, because the pressures don't really, the stores really don't give a crap about our health, but they care about the dollar. And if less people are going to the stores or they're raising complaints about that phthalates, they're going to go to their suppliers and say, hey, get this out. And what I see happening is there'll be enough of a need for change where they'll ban certain phthalates. So these suppliers will just keep on putting the sister phthalates, which we've already established in this article, is just as problematic. Okay, instead of just removing phthalates altogether, which I doubt would ever happen. Phthalates can fairly simply be removed altogether from products with no replacement, according to green chemist Bruce Akers. Okay, so he says it's not hard. It's when the chemicals are used to create tubing or packaging that eliminating them becomes tougher. So if you want a soft, squeezable plastic, you're using phthalates. So again, guys, any plastic that's really squishy and soft, like toothpaste, that's going to be half phthalates. And again, phthalates are not labeled. They're not labeled. So again, anything comes in plastics, assume it has it and get it out. But according to Wyatt, companies could be using flexible polymers instead. Quote, there are flexible polymers that don't require a plasticizer. They exist, she says. They haven't been studied really, so we need to know more, but they probably do not leach the way phthalates do. The problem with phthalates as plasticizers is that they are free-floating. They don't attach to the polymer, so they leach easily. If you have a flexible polymer, that shouldn't happen. Despite the size of the issue, Olson remains positive. Quote, "We turned a corner on the regulation of phthalates," he says. "They're extremely widely used in the economy, and it won't be overnight that we'll see widespread phase-outs. But clearly we've crossed the river, and we're now at the point of debating exactly which uses need to go and where we can use alternatives." Okay, so that's a nice positive way to end the article. And going back to it, so recently there was an article published by the National Academy of Sciences that talked about phthalates being very problematic. And that's what's happened recently. So going back to 2003, the CDC did want some more research on it. And then in 2014, the CHAP study came out saying that there are concerns about phthalates. So I think the reason this has come back into the public consciousness is because of the macaroni and cheese phthalate issue. So let's review the side effects. Infertility, decreased sperm count in men, undescended testicles, malformation of the penis, ADHD, higher rate of ADHD, higher rate of neurodevelopmental problems, higher rate of obesity, type 2 diabetes, low IQ, breast cancer, and autism. Again, these are humongous things. So we can talk about forever about eating clean, but if you're not getting these out, it's a problem. So what can we do? Talk to our congressmen. Aside from trying to petition local governments or emailing companies like Kraft and Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble, I'm sure, uses phthalates because almost all their business is cosmetics and grooming stuff. But if you want to email them or create a group for that, that's one thing. But also just have the wherewithal that try to buy things that come in glass. And there are things that do come in glass. So if you are looking for some lotions, there are some lotions that come in glass. I mean, they are hard to find. But again, it's all about knowing where the toxins are. And the reason I bring up phthalates and parabens, which you guys really haven't heard of maybe, and VOCs and other these things, is because they're not labeled and there really isn't a lot of awareness about it. And it's so important because, again, you can eat as clean as you can or sleep as clean as you can. But these things, these phthalates, these hormone disruptors are everywhere. They're everywhere. So just inform yourself, spread the news, and let's get this crap out. Last thing I want to mention is if you're interested in aromatherapy or botanical science, listen to Kate's Apothecary, which is Kate's new podcast. It used to be called Naturopathic Essentials. We renamed it Kate's Apothecary. So go and listen to that. And I believe this is episode 33. So just like the Freemasonic high degree, the degree where they find out the truth of what Freemasonry represents. We have to bring significance to 33. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then listen to Confessions of an Obese Child, the Cancer Hospital, where I talk about the running of the bulls and the effects Freemasonry had on Christian religions, in particular Catholicism, in the last 300 years. But anyways, so I do love numerology. So 33 is a great number. And it's a prime number for all you math nerds. No, it's not. No, 11 and 3, it's divisible by. Anyways, take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.